New job? Growing family? Need a change of scenery? When life gives you a reason to move, start with Open Door. Request a cash offer in minutes. No prep work or showings needed. Or list with us and test the market with the cash offer to fall back on. You choose. Sell your way at opendoor.com. That's opendoor.com. Terms and conditions apply. Open Door Brokerage, LLC and Open Door Brokerage in California, DRE 020-611-30.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
And the Minister for Housing, James Brown, is with us. Lots to get through. Thank you for joining us. Briefly, we had your junior minister, John Cummins, here during the week about the log cabins, or whatever you might want to call them, the modular homes in the back garden. Is that something you're supporting?
Yeah, something that's going to be looked at in particular by Minister John Cummins. He's going to do a public consultation to see what the view is out there and the very, very different opinions on it. So in some parts of rural Ireland, you know, a log cabin may be suitable. I think in areas of urban Ireland, you know, probably a lot more caution will be exercised in terms of having modular homes at the back of people's houses. So I don't think a one-size-fits-all will work here. There will be challenges around wastewater, about fire safety, about parking. So there's It's something that I think has been welcomed by a lot of people, but we have to think out about the consequences in relation to it too.
It's one thing maybe for 20-somethings who are trying to save for an apartment or a house to buy or to even rent, but is it suitable for intergenerational things like moving older people out of their home into the back garden so that their children can take possession of the house?
Well, I think we always have to be very careful with older people and any pressure that's put onto older people. And Minister Mary Butler, who was a minister for older people in the previous government, was always very strong in ensuring that older people's rights were protected. And you wouldn't want to see a situation of any undue pressure on older people. So certainly I think any kind of safeguards would have to be pushed in there. At the same time, families obviously would like the opportunity to make their own decisions. Currently, there's an exempted development for 40 square metres that create what we would often refer to as the granny flat, but it has to touch physically onto the house. Where this conversation kind of came from was that a lot of houses in rural Ireland would have built a garage maybe 10 feet from the front door or the side of the house, and they're not exempt to the development, so you can't really turn them into granny flats. And there can be frustration that you can't turn maybe that garage 20 years later when the elderly mother wants to or father wants to move and live with the daughter or son or daughter. I think the conversation now seems to be a little bit more beyond that, and cabins and modular homes, and that would have maybe a different perspective for people and neighbours as well in those some circumstances.
And finally, that should it be limited to family members? Because there is a concern that some people might see this as a rental opportunity, convert a bit of a property out the back and get a rental income from somebody.
I really don't see this being in the sphere of rental. You're getting into really second homes then at people's back gardens. And at the moment, you know, if you want to build a house, you have to get planning permission. There's an exempted development, as I say, around what we often call the granny flat for 40 square metres. I don't think you could really have a situation where you could have to get planning to build a home and then you could build a second home without planning permission or even having to notify the county council under exempted development. This is not a housing solution. It's more of a facilitation for families, I think, is how it would be seen. But we'll see what comes out of that public consultation, because there's a lot of, I suppose, different aspects of this that need to be considered.
You and Taoiseach Micheál Martin have been making a lot in the last couple of weeks out of attracting private finance to construct the houses and apartments of the future. Next month, there is going to be a delegation, including senior officials from the Department of Housing, your department, and enterprise, and executives from the IDA and the Irish Strategic Investment Fund and the Irish property industry at the European Real Estate Investment Conference in Cannes. But what are you going to offer to these international financial funds to attract them back into Ireland? Because I saw one report this week from Hook and MacDonald, the agents, suggesting that there isn't going to be a single new apartment block with private money opening this year.
Well, that would seem to be some of the indications. We have a serious problem in this country in that we don't have private investment. The government and the state and the taxpayer is effectively involved at one level or another in delivering of almost every house in the state, which is not sustainable. You need it.
Why is it not sustainable?
Because the taxpayer simply doesn't have that kind of funding to be able to deliver every house that everybody needs. And what it ends up is a kind of a market situation where we're not simply not delivering the supply that we need. And we've seen that, and the facts are there in the sense that apartments simply weren't delivered last year that we would have hoped for. And we know that's because those apartment developers who deliver those apartments are simply not getting the funding they need on the international market. Now, there's a cost factor there. There's a high cost on that type of finance. There's high interest rates. Other issues have been brought into the mix as well, such as RPZs, which are being examined, but we need to protect renters. It's
rent pressure zones.
This is the rent pressure zones, exactly. And that area is being looked at by the housing agency, and is there an alternative way to protect renters while also getting this private investment in there? So I think there's a couple of things here. A number of officials from the government departments and state agencies are going down to Cannes, and they're going to set out, you know, why Ireland is a good investment. And if the message comes across, you know, we are not going there because of X, Y, and Z, then we can come back and examine that even further.
But don't you know why it is? And I said there'll be no new ones in 2025. There were no new ones developed in 2024 either. The only new apartment blocks were effectively purchased by the state from private developers because the finance wasn't there from the institutional investors. If they have been absented themselves from the Irish market, possibly looking at the way the political winds are blowing, what have you got to offer them in Cannes next month? Surely you have to offer them changes to what's in place now and offer those changes quite quickly.
Well, I think you do have to be able to go and set out what the market is here. There is a huge demand, and getting that message across to investors that the demand is here, that if you invest in the delivery of apartments, that you will be able to occupy them. And that's probably the first and foremost for any investor to be able to know about.
But the most important thing they want is a return. They want to know, if they invest capital, what return would they get in the capital? It's not a charitable act they're engaged in.
No, they do. They want to know a return. They're looking for a rate of return. Often with these investors, it's a very long term rate of return, and tend to want a lower rate of return than smaller investors. That's why they can be very important. And with the delivering of apartments, unlike say houses, where if you're building 100 houses, you can sell the first house by the time the second one is finished. If you're building 100 apartments, you can't sell the first of the 100th one is done. So it's a lot of capital goes in that's sitting there before they get any rate of return. And so it's just part of what we're looking at. And I think talking to these investors is really important. And for example, the mayor of London will be there, the city of Cannes, the mayor of Madrid, and a lot of actors from around the world.
But they're often called vultures, and they have been very much criticised by Irish political parties, particularly in the opposition in recent years. How are you going to, though, persuade them that there is favour towards them, if not necessarily favour, which is too much, but at least a rate of return, and that there is a role for them in the Irish property development?
I think there are very different types of equity investment vehicles out there, or companies. So there are those vulture funds that came into Ireland in the past. What they tend to do is look to buy cheap property that already exists and flip it for a quick profit. What we will be looking to target is kinds of equity funds that maybe are backed by police pension funds in Canada, for example, who are looking to get to build new properties that don't exist and wouldn't otherwise be built, and to keep them here for the long term and available for renters. So there are important distinctions between vulture funds and these type of pension equity funds, for example.
But we keep talking about foreign investment, and that's fair enough. That's how we built up jobs over the last decade or so. But the country, as one listener says, is awash with money. Why not some sort of public-private partnership like the SSAI scheme? And I put this to Pascal Donoghue recently when he was on the programme. If we have 170 billion euro sitting in bank accounts, in deposits on very low rates of interest, can we not come up with some way, be it some sort of government bond or some sort of state bank like they do in France, where people can put their money into that, get a better rate of return than they get from the banks at present, and use that money then to build the houses and apartments that we need?
Yeah, I think there's some good ideas floating around in that kind of sphere, and it's certainly something I think we would be looking at. There's nothing off the table, and I think if any kind of vehicle could be put together like that, I think it would be welcome from my perspective. Whatever we can do to get houses built, I am open to, and I will work towards helping to make it happen.
But is there a big division at present between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael? Because Pascal Donoghue was very reluctant when I put that idea to him. He was worried about the security of Irish savings. He seems to be very against the idea as well of new rent breaks, particularly things that might have some resemblance to the Section 23 of the past, saying they ruined the country in the past and they won't be allowed to ruin us in the future. And yet you and Micheál Martin have been talking about using the tax system to try and encourage investment. So how are you going to come together and agree on this?
No, and nobody is talking about using the old style tax breaks that were there in the past. We know they didn't work and we know why they didn't work. But I think taxation measures is something, just something to keep the conversation going, to have it on the table and to constantly explore. Because as I say, we are not getting that private investment into this state. And we have to look at some sort of vehicles to accelerate that private investment back in, because without it, we simply will not meet our targets. And that may or may not be taxation measures that would encourage people to build and develop on brownfield sites that are quite costly. It may be looking at other measures as well. And that's one of the reasons they say we're going to, the officials are heading down to Cannes to talk to some of these big private investors.
One final one. We also had a big discussion on the programme earlier in the week about dereliction and vacant properties and how they could be brought back into use. Again, is it going to be through tax breaks, or are you going to perhaps make the refurbishment grants easier to access and more useful?
Yeah, so these have been, vacancy refurbishment grants have been very successful. We've had 1,300 drawdowns last year, a big increase on the 100 the year before that, and over 11,000 applications. But I've been looking at them, and what I want to do is see, can we make it easier for people to apply first? So for example, people on lower incomes, because at the moment you get the grant at the end of the process. So it means a significant amount of money for people to come up with in the first place. And so we're seeing a lot of people taking advantage of it, but maybe not, from my perspective, not as many lower income families that could do that. So that's something I'm looking at, about maybe bringing in stage payments to help people to be able to do that. And we can, but it's so important. It's bringing houses back in to play that exist already. You already have the services there, and also helping with urban renewal and community renewal within town centres. So it's something I want to see accelerated more often, how we can make it easier for people to apply for.
Thank you very much, Minister for Housing, James Brown.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.